Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Well, happy anniversary. Good morning, Cornerstone Church. Good morning, Grace and Glory, Foursquare Church. Good morning, those of you joining us online from wherever you may be. As our ushers are passing out little bottles of anointing oil, you're going to get a chance to have those, and I'll talk about what the significance is of that a little bit later in the service. But it was on July the 1st, 1962, that this church was dedicated. And there was a lot going on in 1962. The population of Calgary was 269,000 people. Population of the world was roughly about 4.3 billion. If you ended up going to the movie theater, it'd be the first time you'd be able to see James Bond. Dr. No came out in 1962, followed later by Lawrence of Arabia. Astronaut John Glenn orbited the Earth three times and in just under 5 hours splashed down. Some of you might remember the Cuban Missile Crisis that took place between Russia and the United States. Spider-Man made his first appearance in comics. The Space Needle opened in Seattle just in time for them to host the World's Fair. Marilyn Monroe died, as did Eleanor Roosevelt. Song of the Year, Moon River. And the best picture was West Side Story. If you couldn't afford to go to the theater, wanted to stay home and watch television, I could tell you about a story about a man named Jed, a poor mountaineer who barely kept his family fed. Then one day he was shooting for some food, and up through the ground came some bubbling crude oil, that is, black gold Texas tea. Well, the next thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire, and kinfolk said, "Jed, move away from here. Said California is the place you ought to be." So he loaded up the truck and moved to Beverly Hills, that is, swimming pools, movie stars. So the Beverly Hillbillies started. Not that I've seen it. Sam Walton opened a store called Walmart. Kmart started, as did Motel 6. Man took over hosting the Tonight Show by the name of Johnny Carson. Jamaica got its independence from Great Britain. Brazil won the World Cup. The Toronto Maple Leafs won the Stanley Cup in 1962. They would go ahead and repeat that in 63 and 64. Our prime minister was John Diefenbaker, Dief the Chief. It would be his last year before Lester B. Pearson would take over steering the ship, and our premier was Ernest Manning. In the United States, James Meredith became the first African-American student to enroll in the University of Mississippi. Meredith had been a vet, an Army vet, and he made several attempts to enroll at the university, but he was forced away by Mississippi's governor and denied entry. He was finally able to enter the school, escorted by United States Marshals at the insistence of President John F. Kennedy. Nelson Mandela was arrested and imprisoned, and a powerful lady named Ruby Moore dedicated the first building, opened the church of the Calgary Foursquare Gospel Church in Bridgeland, not too far away from where the old General Hospital sat. Well, things have changed. Here we are 61 years later. World leaders have come and gone. Population has grown in our city and around the world. James Bond has been in the screen in the movie theaters 25 times with 7 different actors. We've done a lot more than just loop around the planets in outer space, and we no longer splash down, at least not on purpose. Russia is still making war. Spider-Man, Motel 6, Walmart have been around the world. Bigotry, prejudice, discrimination, and injustice are still present. as are those who stand against them. And the Foursquare Gospel Church in Calgary is still preaching that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We preach that Jesus is the Savior, He's the healer, He's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and He is our King who is soon and coming. And we are still committed to what was written in the Cornerstone Evangelist Temple in Los Angeles, that we are dedicated unto the cause of interdenominational and worldwide evangelism. And we echo what Reverend Anna D. Britton cried when she was sent out from Angelus Temple as a missionary in the early 1930s to Canada. Her cry as she came as a missionary to Canada, her cry was this: Canada for Christ. And we have taken that and personalized that to be our declaration, Calgary for Christ. Calgary for Christ includes not only north and east and south and west, pardon me, not north and east, it includes South Calgary. And 2 years ago, September 12th, 2021, the second Sunday in September, the doors were opened to Grace and Glory Foursquare Church. Praise the Lord. Pastor Rufus and Grace and Glory, we are here and we celebrate with you this second anniversary. It was 31 years ago where a very young and handsome couple left the Calgary Foursquare Church and on this weekend opened Airdrie Foursquare Church, which is now Hillside Church, celebrating their 31st anniversary in Calgary area. And so we celebrate with Pastor Brad. Pastor Brad, who was a punk kid, who showed up to be a part of the youth group. And I remember one of the first Sundays that he showed up, I got in trouble from his mom because I let this kid wear a baseball hat in church. And I remember telling her, just be glad he's here. He now serves as a national board member. He's the chairman of our presidential review committee. He's been the lead pastor of Hillside Church. And so grateful that Foursquare Ministry in Calgary and beyond Calgary is alive and well. As we enter our 61st year, I am believing for God to lead us in a fresh and a new anointing as we intentionally step into September. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Scripture says in Malachi, God the Father speaking, He says, I am the Lord, I do not change, or I change not. We recognize that God the Father doesn't change, that Jesus doesn't change, nor does the Holy Spirit change. And the same Holy Spirit who anointed Jesus will equip and empower each one of us to do what He has called us to do, to minister wholeness and healing to broken people, because we've all been given the ministry of reconciliation. Would like you to listen to what Jesus said when he had been water baptized, the Spirit had descended upon Him, He was filled with the Spirit, He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days. He returns in the power of the Holy Spirit. Comes to Nazareth, enters the synagogue. He's been given the scroll for Him to read. He turns to where it was timely for Him to read in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 61. It's recorded in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 4. But as Jesus stands and is reading the text from Isaiah 61, this on our 61st anniversary, listen to what Jesus quoted, what he read. It's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 18. It says this: Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And watch what happens. Then He closed the book. He gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on Him. The Holy Spirit anointed Jesus to preach, to bring healing and wholeness, recovery, and announce God's favor, the acceptable year of the Lord. And in our 61st year, I want to see us walk in that Isaiah 61 anointing. that we might share the gospel with our city, that we might be those who would bring wholeness and healing to the brokenhearted, that we might be those who bring recovery to those so many things have been lost, that we might see people brought into freedom, people who Jesus loves, and in all of it, that all of our eyes would be fixed on him. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. He didn't leave the church here to condemn the world, but that we might bring the life-changing message of the gospel to a city who so desperately needs to know that there is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. We need to see people's lives impacted with the gospel, just like our lives have been impacted with the gospel. Earlier than the text we read, it's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, it's in verse 14, it says this, that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went throughout all the surrounding region. Earlier, just as the summer was beginning, the end of June, early July, I talked about all, for 61 days, from July 2nd, that Sunday, to August 31st, we were going to pray a simple prayer, Lord, fill me and lead me. Lord, fill me and lead me. Based on this text out of Luke, we looked at Jesus' baptism and led into the wilderness. Lord, fill me, lead me by your Holy Spirit. We looked forward to returning from summer, and even as Jesus returned from the wilderness, he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. My prayer has been, and our prayer has been, Lord, as we return, may we return in the power of the Holy Spirit. Like Jesus, we need to walk in the power of the Spirit and bring the news of him throughout the whole region. We need to live in the flow of the Spirit of God, the life-giving flow of God's Spirit and his anointing. It's that anointing that I want to talk with you for the next few moments about. We need a flow of God's Spirit, his presence and his power, just like the oil that did not run out. If you recall a story way back in 1 Kings chapter 17, there was a drought. Elijah had proclaimed the word of the Lord that there would be a drought. And he went to the brook Cherith. He's waiting there and he's being fed by ravens. He's drinking from the brook, but the brook dries up. So this very natural brook dries up. This natural source, this natural resource dried up. And God said, you're going to go to Zarephath, and there's a widow, and she's going to take care of you. And so Elijah moves from where he is and comes to this new place, even as we're moving from where we've been to this new place. And Elijah comes, and he finds the woman there and discovers that she's making just the last bit of cake for her and her son, and they're about to die. There's been a famine. There's been a drought. She says, all I've got is a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil. He says, make it for me first. And he says this. It's in 1 Kings 17, verse 14. He says these words. The prophet says these words to her. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. The flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry till the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. And it's that phrase that this oil is not going to run dry. And I feel like there's three things we need to focus on, that the flow of God's Spirit would not dry up, would not cease, that the flow of God's Spirit, his power and his presence would not cease on our lives as we follow him. There's three things we need to be keenly aware of. Number one is we need to live a life of repentance. We need to continually be coming before the Lord, say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, cleanse me. Search me, O God. Try me, see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Take me not from your presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Lord, would you forgive me for this thought, this action, this intent, this word, this deed, this selfishness, this anger, this bitterness, whatever it is, just continually coming a life of repentance before the Lord in humility. You want God to oppose you? Well, just be proud. But he gives grace to the humble, and so we come and we say, Lord, I need you. Forgive me. He doesn't need a perfect vessel. He doesn't need a vessel that has no marks or no marring in it, but he does need a clean vessel to pour his life into. So we say, Lord, forgive me. And not only do we walk this life of repentance, saying before God in transparency and authenticity, Lord, forgive me. We offer that to others. We live a life of forgiveness. We receive forgiveness and we offer forgiveness to others. We're not hanging on to things. We are vessels. We are emissaries. We are ambassadors of forgiveness. Freely we have received, so freely we give. We offer forgiveness to people. So number one, there's this life of repentance that we live. Secondly, there's a life of obedience that we live. We want this continued refreshing touch, power, and presence of the Holy Spirit. May we be people who obey Jesus. Our slogan for Cornerstone Church for so many years now has been following Jesus together. We don't look back and say, I gave my life to the Lord on this day, on that day, such and such a day, and that's when that's been the only decision to follow him. No, we continually follow him because he is continually on the move. And as we want to walk in the move of God's Spirit, we continually need to be obeying him, not out of our comfort and not out of our preference, but out of our allegiance. And obedience to him. And I know that this sounds much like a library, but you can say amen anytime. We need to walk in obedience to him, following Jesus. He said this, my sheep will hear and will know my voice, and they will follow me. So as we press in and we say, Lord, anoint us, we're not saying that in some kind of vacuum. We're saying in the context of we want to live lives of repentance that are washed continually in his forgiveness and extend that forgiveness to others. And we want to walk lives of obedience, saying, yes, Lord, whatever you say, the answer is yes. I've got a friend who pastors in Turtle Lake, Saskatchewan. He and his wife have been there for a number of years, and they have just had a tremendous impact in the community and the surrounding community. And I remember asking him, Dan, I said one time, well, what brought you to Turtle Lake? What in the world are you doing out here? And he said, Barry, I used to have a thriving business. I don't remember if it was a 3 or 4 car garage, not in his house, but a mechanics business. He's a mechanic and heavy duty mechanic. And he had a lot of stuff. Remember him telling me often how he'd just jump in his plane and fly to Banff for lunch. And just, he said to me, do you know what brought us here? Is in the midst of having all of this together, one night, he said, my wife and I did the most foolish thing we could ever do. He says it with a smirk on his face. He said, we knelt beside our bed. And we just offered ourselves to the Lord. He said, Lord, we give you our lives. We'll go where you want us to go. We'll do what you want us to do. We surrender. It wasn't long after that they were in Bible school and being sent out with nothing to this Turtle Lake mission. And have been faithful, 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 and fruitful. We talk about obedience and following the Lord. We're not talking about preference or convenience. You know, Peter, there was a day when you got to do what you want and go where you wanted to, and you just kind of had a free course. It's not going to be like that always. But you're choosing to follow me. And so, loved ones, we come with a life of repentance. We come with a life of obedience. And we also come with a life of dependence. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. I need you to fill me. I need your presence. I need your power. I need you to fill me over and over and over again. This isn't just some theological treaty or a statement about that we're a Pentecostal church and we believe in the second experience and infilling of the Holy Spirit. This is a cry of our heart saying, Lord, fill me. I'm desperate. I need you. Ephesians says, continually be filled and filled and filled and filled with his Spirit. Jesus was anointed to preach the good news, to heal broken hearted people, to set people free, to recover what had been lost. That's the phrase, the recovery of sight to the blind. They had sight and they lost it. Recovery of what has been taken. Recovery of what has been lost. That's part of this anointing and this ministry. And see God's kingdom come and his will be done, the acceptable year, the favorable year of the Lord. In a moment, I'm going to invite you and welcome you to be anointed with oil. I want to talk about anointing with oil first. I want to give you seven examples of anointing with oil before we do this. In a moment, though, Pastor Chris and Chris are going to come to the front, and Pastor Rufus and Funzo are going to come. And for those who are not able to come to the front for whatever reason, I can't tell you how many times I've tripped on the pattern of these stairs, or it's a long way. Whatever it is, Audrey is happy to come to you, and you just raise your hand where you are, and she's going to anoint you with oil. But oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. We're going to anoint you with oil, and then I am going to pray for you. It's when I talk about being anointed with oil, coming to the front, and it's what it's going to look like is you're going to come down this aisle or this aisle, and Chris, Rufus, and Funzo will anoint you with oil. It's not a time of prayer ministry. They're not going to spend time ministering to you. They're not going to pray over you. They're not going to prophesy over you. So it's not like that. But neither is it kind of like getting a stamp at a park for reentry. Just come, stamp, and go. It's not that either. And I was trying to explain to Audrey what I was looking for it to look like. And she kind of smiled at me and she said, I get it. She said, it's a holy moment. She should be the preacher. I take a really long time. I get it. It's a holy moment. Yeah, that's it. It's a blessing. It's a holy moment. And then you go back to your seat out the side aisles and then I'm going to pray for you. But here's what I'm going to pray, what we're going to talk about. The anointing oil in the Bible, we talk about anointing people with oil. One of the perhaps first things we might think of is for those who are sick. Is any among you sick? Let them call for the elders of the church. They will anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. If they committed any sins, they'll be forgiven. It's this anointing with oil for those who are sick. It's not just a New Testament concept. In the Old Testament, When a leper was cleansed, the priest would take oil for the leper and place it on the leper's right ear, the right thumb, and the right big toe. It was this cleansing that happens for the leper. It's symbolic of the Holy Spirit, but so much more than symbolism. We're going to believe God's touch in this. It has to do with healing. Secondly, there was the anointing of kings. We would see that as Samuel would pour oil upon Saul and then David, and we would take the horn of oil, pour it on the kings. We would see the anointing of priests with oil, as Moses, we would see anointing Aaron and his sons, the high priests and sons, as the priesthood would begin. We would see the anointing of prophets, how Elijah was instructed to anoint Elisha. There was an anointing. This is just so very practical. There was an anointing that a host would do with oil on someone's head when they entered their home. You might remember the reprimand that Jesus gave Simon. When I came into your house, you didn't wash my feet and you gave no oil for my head. Maybe another picture would be what King David said, you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. It has to do with this refreshing and blessing. One of the most difficult anointings that we see in Scripture is when a woman breaks open a flask and pours it upon Jesus. And there's resistance around that moment, and Jesus says, leave her alone, for she's done this for my burial. There's an anointed for burial. And then I've already maybe alluded to with Moses and talking about Aaron and the priests, there was an anointing of the tabernacle. And that tabernacle and everything that was in it got anointed with oil. This anointing of the tabernacle and all the utensils, it says, and everything that was in it was anointed. And so as we anoint you with oil and then we pray, here are the things that I'm going to pray for you. That there, if there be any place of sickness or brokenness, woundedness, anything that's been shattered or fragmented in your life, we're going to pray the Lord's healing touch upon you. As a child of the King, you'll be anointed, recognizing that you can walk in the authority, not in the arrogance, but in the authority of being royalty. You are a royal priesthood. Speaking of priests, the priest was one who took people to the presence of God and took the presence of God to people, serving and ministering on their behalf. So when I talk about being anointed as a priest, it has to do with service and serving, bringing God to people and people to God. Anointed, that prophetic, that you would be able to speak God's word. Now listen to this. Speak God's word with God's tone. Speak God's word with God's tone to hear his voice and hear his tone through his word. That you would be able to be anointed to bring refreshment and joy. The oil of joy for gladness. That your life, and as you would minister, and as you would go about your days, that there would be something of a refreshing that you bring by your presence. Anointed for burial. That there may be some things in your life that have had a grip on you. I'm going to pray that you would be able today, to what Romans 6 says, to reckon yourself dead to sin, but alive to God. Dead to the flesh. When it talks about mortifying the deeds of the flesh, the word means this, that put to death by starvation. That we would be dead to sin. We would not present our members as instruments of unrighteousness. Present ourselves as instruments to God. And then lastly is the tabernacle. And everything within that tabernacle, everything in your life would be dedicated, consecrated, set apart for holy purposes. That there would be a fresh infilling in your life of God's Spirit. Just like when the tabernacle was dedicated, when the temple was dedicated, there was a cloud that would come and that descended and filled that house. And pray that as we come before the Lord, he would fill us with his Spirit. I'm going to ask Sean and Ben to come this morning, and they're going to, in this moment, just begin to, I was going to say play a song, but it really is pray a song about Holy Spirit. You're welcome here. Come fill this place and flood the atmosphere. Pastor Rufus and Funzo, Pastor Chris and Chris, would you go ahead and come and stand at the front in this moment? And if you just face outward to the people, Audrey, if you can prepare yourself too. In fact, honey, would you come and anoint Sean and Ben? And then you can go and minister. If you're able to come to the front, in a moment I'm going to invite you to do that. And if something stirred in your heart and said, I need that. I need a touch from the Lord like that. It's not the be-all and end-all. If you're not able to come forward, if there's, for whatever reason, there's no condemnation, there's no weight, there's no issue, nobody's looking at you funny or sideways. But there can be something in movement. So however and whatever it takes to just surrender to the Lord, they're going to just place their hands, a hand of blessing upon you with anointing oil. Would you go ahead and come? You'll come down these two aisles and then just go out the side to the next, back to your seat. And then I'm going to pray, but we're just going to believe Believe the Lord's touch. It's a holy moment. It's an invitation. Now, can I invite you just to hold out your hands, just as a posture of being open? We're going to ask the Lord to fill us right now. Father, we have been anointed with oil. We know that there's nothing superstitious or mystical about the oil. It is a symbolic step, but more than a symbolism, it's being obedient to your word, following the example set out in Scripture. So you say that if we would be anointed with oil, if we would call for the elders of the church, they would anoint us with oil in the name of the Lord. And so, God, we do this in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord Jesus. That name is higher than any other name on heaven, on earth, or under the earth. That name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of the Father that Jesus is Lord. Loved ones, would you just say, Jesus is Lord? Just make that, we declare that right now. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. So, Father, we pray the prayer of faith. Not faith in faith, but faith in you. Faith in you who hear our prayers. And I pray that each person right now would be healed. Wherever there is sickness, wherever there is brokenness, wherever there is woundedness, that by the power of the name of Jesus, I declare, be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Wherever there is brokenness, wherever there is shattering, wherever there is fragments, oh God, we pray for a wholeness to come, spirit, soul, mind, and body. Father, we want to be those who walk in the authority that you have given to us as children of the King. Jesus, wherever we have shirked back, wherever we have felt less than and walked under, God, I pray we would now walk in the authority of a child of God, driving back the enemy's dominion and instead seeing the kingdom of God advanced. Jesus, that we would be the head and not the tail, the first and not the last. We would walk in your blessing and walk in your authority. Children of the King and children of light. Jesus, as a royal priesthood, this holy people that you have called us to be, God, would you help us to live in such an awareness of the presence of God that we would bring the presence of God to people wherever we go. We would live in such an anointed presence. There would be a distinct difference. And that we would bring people to you. That all eyes would be fixed on you. That your fame would go throughout our region, oh God. That we would live as a priest serving others, bringing your presence to people and people into your presence. God, we pray for a prophetic anointing that we would have your word in our hearts and our minds and in our mouths, and we would be able to speak your word with your tone, a word in season, like apples of gold in settings of silver. We would be able to say the right thing at the right time that would bring freedom and wholeness and life. Jesus, help us to speak your word with your tone. A word in season, oh God. Father, as hosts who would bring a refreshing touch to people, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, God, may we bring refreshing and not condemnation. May we bring life and hope and courage and strength, not a weight of guilt. Jesus, may we bring refreshing. Let times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord, because your presence rests upon us. Father, we too want to be anointed for burial, that we would reckon ourselves dead to sin but alive to you. God, I pray for each person here, wherever there's been a habit that has gripped us, let it be broken in Jesus' name. Wherever there has been sin that has reigned in our mortal bodies, we say no more. No more this day. We are free to walk in the authority that you have given us, O God. Alive unto God, I pray for a fresh life touch. And Jesus, as we've been dedicated with oil now, we We declare that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your word says that a tabernacle dedicated, consecrated, set apart for holy purposes. God, may everything in our lives bring honor and glory to you. May everything that we have be used in your service, just like that tabernacle was dedicated for service of the King. God, may that be the story of our lives. Everything within us dedicated and consecrated for holy purposes, we pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite Tara and Rhea and Nina and Joy and Ibu and anybody else I missed, our worship team to come. Before we close in this song, you were handed a little bottle of anointing oil. I'd like to invite you just to hold that in your hands. Because this isn't all about us. This is about ministering to people in need. Even as the Holy Spirit anointed Jesus to preach the gospel, bringing healing and freedom and recovery to people, bringing God's favor, oil is a symbol. It's symbolic of the Holy Spirit's touch. You have been anointed to do the very same task. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. You can pray for the sick. You can anoint people with oil. You can bring God's touch in people's lives. You can minister. Listen, the reason why I asked you to hold this is because of this phrase. It's in your hands. It's in your hands to do this. It's part of the Great Commission. We can take that word and we can say a co-mission. It's our partnership with God. It's in your hands. It's in our hands to go minister to people. The oil is in your hands. I remember in Exodus chapter 4, the Lord would say to Moses, when Moses is saying, you got the wrong guy, it's not me. He says this to Moses, what's in your hand? Moses said, it's a rod. We would see the miraculous take place with that rod, and eventually we'd see that rod held out over the Red Sea. Things are going to change because it's in your hands. Jesus would say to his disciples, what do you got? They'd say, we've just got a small boy's lunch. Listen, it's in your hands. Thousands can be ministered to because it's in your hands. It's a commission, a great commission. Do what God's called you to do. You received a bracelet this morning. Out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 8, it says, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. There'll be frontlets on your eyes. We gave you a bracelet today that says anointed. It's a reminder of this moment. It says anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. As a reminder of our mission, as a reminder of a partnership of this great commission with God, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Go preach the gospel. In whatever way you know how. I remember St. Francis saying, and if necessary, use words. Preach the gospel in whatever way you can. Bring wholeness and healing. Let's see lives restored. Let's see this world changed. Let's see Calgary for Christ. It's not just going to happen because we're praying. It's going to happen because we're doing. Able ministers of the gospel, it's in your hands. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.